Another exciting morning in paradise. Woke up this morning, wrote down a little bit about this, getting it to the point where it can be a blog post. And we used to call it expanded childhood. Now I think it's just never-ending childhood for people who just don't feel like taking responsibility for their actions. They want everybody else to be responsible for them, on their behalf, perhaps. Is that a better way to say it? Start with your parents. Parents have really, I think one of the reasons why parenting has been on the downswing, that there's a lot of people that just don't choose to have children except accidentally. That's not true. Although, there's plenty of times where that is true. I just don't, you know, when we expect parents to pay or to provide beyond, I guess, what would be considered reasonable, society is not helpful in this. That's why society is one of the institutions that we probably should spend more time ignoring. Coming up with our own way of doing things. Because when kids see how much their parents have to struggle to let them go to college, sometimes under the circumstances of not being very good about using that time constructively, wisely, whatever. You know, if you go to a party school, or if you just consider it like, I don't know, 4 more years of high school. This becomes really, it's not only your own attitude toward these things, that you should be able to do things and your parents will just by nature pay for them, or a society will therefore pay for them. And, you know, when most people say, oh, I just don't think it's a good idea to have children in this time, sometimes that is a translation of the word of, I'm not going to get stuck in the same trap that my parents got stuck in. And of course, I won't say by me. I'm not trying to be rude or disgusting or horrible. There's a lot of factors that go into this. Some of it's selfishness, but a whole lot of it is virtue signaling by a lot of people, including parents themselves. Who says, you know, I want to look acceptable, or I want to look like this incredibly successful person that sent all their kids to Ivy League schools, and they all ended up as you know, people of significance, people of note. And it's like, you know, that's another example of the ensign families. I'm saying such things don't exist, but don't count on it. My big term, don't count on it. Don't count on wonderful things happening. Don't count on everything being beautiful and marvelous. Don't count on the fact that you'll send somebody to a very expensive law school, and then they'll decide to just kind of do something else instead. You know, and it does have to do with the whole thing of don't get weird about the money. You know, if the money's there, it's not a bad idea to spend it. That's what money's there for, is to spend. Not particularly to save and save and save and save and scrimp and save and save and scrimp and save and save and scrimp and save. To hand some legacy to your children, is it a bad thing to do? No. Does it create interesting situations? Yes. Will some of your children hover over you like a vulture, waiting for you to die so they can get a hold of your money? Maybe. Hopefully you didn't raise your kids that way, but it's almost like, oh, I'm going to set you up because I intend to do this to you. With my own kids, tell them, you know, get into the habit of saving stuff back. Don't live paycheck to paycheck and spend all your money and go into debt. Just don't do those things. Now, how much you can save back is it's tricky. But save some back. I worked primarily for educational institutions, state government, things like that. So, and it was kind of built into my job that you participated in this pension program. And so I kept working and I got raises and things like that, and I got quite a ball of money. Not that it's a ball of money, it's a pension program. And so I get so much money every month until both me and Lisa die. And there's something to be said for that. Could we live off that money? I think the answer is basically yes. We could live off of that money. Now, I've got other pots of money that I'm not touching that are being added to because I'm still working. And there's a whole lot of that, you know. I offer to pay for people's missions. I make contributions to fast offerings, things like that. Looking into if I can save up enough money to giving a gift to LDS Philanthropies, which is a big principal payment, and there is a bit of an annuity tied to that. And so that'll add a little bit more money, probably enough to make it so that I only need to work if I really want to. So there's that. And I try to be generous to my kids when, you know, at some point we taught them to be, I don't want to say independent, because in the world of the perpetual childhood, independence is looked upon as a sin. You know, socialism is not being independent. It's saying I'm going to be a part of this thing and I'm going to give the bulk of my money to the group, with the expectation that the group will take care of me. And that isn't what God wants for your ultimate future. I've often said that I think the terrestrial kingdom is to a large extent smells and acts and feels like socialism. And I've never been one to really want that kind of an existence. It's why I think it's important that one knows the nature of God, what God wants is trying to accomplish, so you can decide if that's what you want to do as well. The key difference between the celestial kingdom and the terrestrial kingdom is the word of valiant. And that has a higher meaning. You know, people say, well, if I got baptized, then I could go celestial kingdom, right? You go, maybe. You go, you open the door to it. But you make covenant. You make a covenant there. You make promises. You say that I'll keep the commandments, and that's a big part of it. People that go to the terrestrial kingdom aren't that dedicated, that devoted, that valiant in their testimony of Jesus Christ, their commitment to follow Him, take upon yourself His name, mourn with those who mourn, comfort those who stand in need of comfort. I've got to work on those a little bit. You know, people say I'm cold and heartless, and you go, in some ways I am. Do I need to work on that? Absolutely. Not with the Lord's money, because there's larger things being worked here. We don't want to build up dependency. This is not part of our Heavenly Father's plan. Will He take care of you? Will He help you? Yes. But He'll usually help you in ways that forward you toward better things and toward the better reward, or frankly, to being like He is. That's what His purpose is trying to get us to be like Him. Now, a lot of people won't want to. Says, that's fine. Says, you know, there's nothing making you do it. Force does not breed the kind of commitment that's really needed to be like God. He's committed to what He does. And if you're not, that's okay. You know, if you live worthy of a lesser glory, that's why I find it interesting when people say, we'll choose where we go. And you go, no, we won't choose where we go. We will say where we will like to go, and then maybe we will be reminded that's not really compatible with the life you live. And life hopefully has been long enough to help you show both God and yourself what you really value. You know. If it's partying, having a good time, being strung out on drugs, stuff like that, if you're doing stuff like that, just, you know, I would imagine you would prefer to go to a place where those things happen. And you go, well, that's the celestial kingdom. And you go, okay. And you go, God would just go, I'm glad you've got a clear picture. It's difficult for those who think they deserve more than that. There's plenty of them. That's why it's like, well, we're not going to necessarily get what we think we hope for and we deserve or what we are due. It's just, you know, it'll be like you getting together with a religious leader, your bishop, for instance, talking over things. And, you know, and you go, well, I deserve this or I deserve that. You go, okay, what, you know, let's take another look at this. Let's see what you've been doing. It's just, I'm not here to kind of grill you over your past. I said, I'm just here to try to make sure that you go to a place that's authentically suited to you, what you want, what your aspirations are, and what you've basically been working for. Because that's a whole lot of what this earth life is what are you working for? What are you trying to accomplish? I have to say that a lot of people may misconstrue repentance and changing, becoming better. This is somewhat a part of this, but this has more to do, I think, with paradise and prison in the spirit world and how you will spend your time in the spirit world. What you would like to spend your time in the spirit world doing. And that's also very indicative. I don't know if we get presented with a choice. I tell you, it's not judgment. People all think it's external. I think that people like Bruce Porter are correct about choices when it comes to the spirit world. We go ahead and go on to Melrose, go on to Main Road. Because I don't know how good the drainage has been. I don't want to get caught in water problems elsewhere. Anyway, so now we probably get a choice of where we're going to go in the spirit world, at least partially. I don't believe in the pre-judgment. Everyone will be clean, and that's one of the biggest elements of repentance. Is changing so that you don't sin anymore. But you have to understand, that's just keeping your covenant to obedience. It doesn't mean that you're really interested in anything anybody's peddling. I wouldn't be surprised if that became one of the bigger desires. Is your desire. What do you want to spend your time doing? The spirit world? I don't think you're influenced by Satan particularly anymore. But I also don't think that there is a lot you can do to change your nature. That can be done in the plastic, fleshy, world of mortality. As we progress on, we become less plastic, less changeable. Everybody thinks they'll still have the ability to do everything that they did here and to go, this existence, I think, is unique. That's why it says, don't procrastinate the day of your repentance. don't put off the changes you need to make because you can make them here. They'll talk about the question of how difficult it is to change. And you go, to a large extent, you're not going, I don't think there's going to be changing up into the place where you're resurrected, which is where change ends. Everybody who thinks you can change later on is a participant in perpetual childhood. I don't have to be an adult yet. In fact, I don't think I ever have to be an adult. I think I could be whoever I like. And I get to make, you know, and I get to reinvent myself on a regular basis. And it's like, no. I don't like to bring this thing, but I think it's got some poignancy. Everybody got into vampires there for a little while with things like the Twilight series and other things of that ilk. And you remain the same. It's still you. Your intelligence, clothed in both spirit and body. When you're down here on Earth, you have everything here, and it's real squidgy. You can do all kinds of fun things. And you can overcome things. You can do something different. You can live whole other, you can live several lives in one if you like. But once you get, once venom becomes introduced to you, makes it sound bad. Because you are essentially locked in place. You know, you don't age. Look out. Lots of little tortoises or turtles or something. I think they're tortoises. On the roads. So you've got to keep your eyes open. Because you don't want to squish them particularly. You don't want to squish anybody particularly. Anyway, so. And that's kind of what I think happens. Your spirit body is somewhat. Everybody thinks that that's a real distinct stage of life. Which I really don't think it is. You know, I think it's like being stuck in a doctor's waiting room. I think that's what it is. Now, I don't think you get to stay there for an awfully long time. There's some ideas that say, oh, you can stay there for as long as it takes for you to really work out what you really want. And it's like, I think I somewhat disagree. That's okay. I don't know. I think it is an amount of time sufficient for making sure everything is even, that everyone has had their opportunity. It doesn't give you a second life to just throw this one away and say, this one doesn't count. I'm going to do something different. I don't think so. Therefore, what is the point of this life? Why do this thing? I don't know how the passage of time feels that way. We get the impression that the time of God, one of his days is about 1,000 years. You go, whoa, that's amazing. Also get some ideas from people that says that this life is like the snap of your fingers compared to to the world you live in. And that means even people who have been in the spirit world for, let's say, Cain, the spirit world for many, many years, hasn't been the participant of the first resurrection, which started at Christ's resurrection. He was the first fruits, and many people were resurrected after that time, I think. And that Cain at most spent 6 or 7 days in the spirit world, even him, from his perspective. And that's among the longest lives, or the longest in spirit world, how they would have been. Okay. It seems sensible to me that those who have to pay for more sins will spend more time in the spirit world, and that's primarily where you get cleaned up. Get clean. Doesn't mean that you change your nature. It just means you're clean. The time to change your nature is in life. All you'll be doing in the spirit world primarily is paying the price for unrepented sins and getting ordinance work done for yourself. If that's even interesting to you. For a lot of people, it's simply not interesting. I'm not going to accept it. Okay, fine, go on. And then your body is, what's the best word for it? You know, it's almost like doing the vampire thing, as they have kind of played around with it, where it's like, yes, your body is made, you know, people call it being, your body's made perfect. And you go, well, it's got these attributes. So I don't know what you mean by perfect. So that's a strange term. And I don't know where to put that. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody perfect. God the Father is perfect. He is the embodiment of it. So if you become perfected, you become like him. At least your body does. You have the same sort of body that he does. You're no longer playing around. And you do things to your body that make them behave a certain way. You go, that doesn't happen. Where you get bodies of different sorts. And it's like, well, it's not predetermined. It really has to do with you and what you've done. And so it comes back to my whole thing of you said, you know what, I think I'm going to count on the fact that I can straighten things up after I'm dead. And my advice to people like that is to say, don't count on it. Don't count on it. Don't count on your ability to do that. It says, the fact that we do the ordinances for everyone right now only comes from the fact that we don't know who is going to accept or not. My great-great-great uncle, I don't know what kind of a person he is. I don't really know what kind of life he lived. If he left a record behind, I might get a little bit of a picture of him. He says, but otherwise, how would I ever know? So what do I do? He says, based on whatever I can find, I go ahead and do work for him. Just on the chance. people, I think, imbue doing that with more with an idea that it changes the milieu. I said, no, this is for like Mother Teresa, who never decided to join the church because she was blinded by the craftiness of men, but that she lived a fantastic life of service and doing what God, what her understanding of God's will was, and that this will be taken into account, and that she will continue going forward. It isn't some kind of magic ticket for bad people, for people who weren't interested in keeping whatever laws or commandments they had in their life. It isn't for those people. We have always had God's commandments with us. We always talk about, well, they didn't know who Jesus Christ was. And you go, okay, so that might be something that they can adjust for. It says, but they all have the law given to them. Cain, the original bad guy, knew what the rules were. He knew he was breaking them. And if he didn't change his attitude to stop breaking them and try to be a better person, I said, that's, you know, that's his fate. So anybody who says, oh, well, they just didn't know about God. They didn't know about this stuff and that stuff. And you go, it's always there. It's always available. What the Jews call the Noahide commandments, these are obvious. And one's diligence in keeping the commandments that they knew and understood, and that the light of Christ was trying to get them to keep. He says, that's a good thing. He says, so we set up these weird scenarios that don't have any basis in reality, particularly. Well, what if there's somebody like this? How would God make that work? And you go, God's already made it all work. It's already working. What are you doing with what you have? All of the stories of inherently bad people learning about Jesus and turning their life around, I'm not going to say that that doesn't happen, but that's a story. Most people do what they do. The stories then that we have, like Alma the Younger, for instance, the Book of Mormon, and how he decided to change his life, instead of being a great destroyer of the church, he stopped being that person, and he started being somebody else. I says, now, you know, am I going to be, should I let the cat out of the bag that he was threatened within an inch of his life and beyond? He was shown the ultimate destruction that would come to him if he didn't change his ways, if he didn't turn off on the course that he was on. Of course, this was in life. Like I said, the closer we get to whatever ultimate reward we're going to get, the less capable we are of making changes. Spirits cannot make big changes. resurrected people can't make changes at all. So when people say, well, I'll improve and I'll grow, and you go, no, you won't. It says that is something that you can do here on earth, and you think that your earth experience just continues. Says that it doesn't. This is very much a go out on the playground and play. Let's see how you behave. And I'm not going to be out there telling you what to do or watching over you like some kind of helicopter parent. That's not me. And it really is that. And you get called in for dinner or something, and that's where all the rest of this stuff happens. After you know, and then you rinse all the mud off, and it's not, apparently it's not pleasant. So yeah, that's how I view it. The life you have now, your capacity and your ability is analogous to exaltation. Because you can do all the things you can do with exaltation. You know, this is, did I bring spirits into the world? I did. You know, did you take the opportunity to do it? Or did you let it pass by? You go, well, there's that. I would be very careful in what you say to unmarried people. We try to be really nice to unmarried women. We try to be nice, really nice to single women who have had children. Pat them on the head, tell them how wonderful they are, and you're going, you do know that to a certain degree you haven't done a very good job. This isn't, that's neither here nor there. If you tried to be married, you tried to do that, you brought children into the world, or you tried to bring children into the world, if you did all these different things, it says, I think they're counted well for you. Now, when it comes to everything else, well, there it is. I think a lot of people say something in their perpetual childhood. And perpetual childhood, I don't think there's much to it. If you want somebody running your life, I think the terrestrial people get to say, we don't really want you. The whole point of socialism is you have to get the group of people to accept you. And I don't think they have to. Well, that means that you'll be in a terrestrial circumstance, but on your own. Now, that actually works there. It doesn't really work here. And I think you have to work really hard. Indicates to you that you don't really have to worry about it, or that you shouldn't get too weird. But while you're on the surf, go after what you actually want. I don't think there is much to be said for people who just don't do much of anything and say, you know, at least I didn't sin, and you go, I guess. Perpetual childhood. Not the best idea.